Johnny! Hey! Well, this kind of goes along with some of the things that we've been speaking about over the last couple of weeks. Because it was just a few weeks ago during the Minor Prophets, in the first book of Leviticus, that we start, the first portion of Leviticus, that we spoke a bit, and I mentioned korban is the Hebrew word for sacrifice. And it's the word, root word where we get drawn near. And in today's portion, we're called to draw near. That same root word is used. So let's jump right into the word. Leviticus 9, 6 and 7 says this. Moses said, "This is what Adonai commanded that you shall do, so that the glory of Adonai may appear to you." Moses said to Aaron, "Draw near to the altar and bring your sin offering and your burnt offering, and make atonement for yourself and for your people. Then present the offering for the people, and make atonement for them, as Adonai's commanded." So that word in verse 7, to draw near, is korban. It's that same root word from korban. It means draw near. So we see, really, the first thing that Moses tells Aaron and us is draw near to God. Draw close to him. And the reason why is plainly stated in verse 6, which says, "So the glory of Adonai may appear to you." So why is it that it's up to us to draw near to him? Why isn't it the other way around? That's a simple answer for those who know. It's because he's always near us. He's always around us. He's never far from us. He's always loving. He's always caring. This is what Adonai said through the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 23, verse 24, it says, "Can anyone hide himself in places so secret that I will not see him? Do I not fill heaven and earth?" It is a declaration of Adonai. Adonai fills up all of heaven and all of earth. Therefore, there is no place we can go if he's not already there. Doesn't matter if we're purposely trying to hide from him, if we accidentally walk away from him, he's there already. There's no walking away from him in reality. We may turn our back on him, but we're not. There's no way of walking away from something that's always there. It's like saying, "I'm going to walk away from the air. I don't like this air. I'm going to walk over to here." It's still air. Right. The Lord is here. The Lord is there.
Amen.
He is everywhere. We're called to draw near to him. Another way of saying that is draw close or be holy. No, it's not working. No, I'm on
mute. Who? I was on mute that whole time. See, I can't hear myself normally when I'm up here. So what am I saying? Just for those who are there. Adonai is everywhere, and he calls us to draw near because it's not the other way around, because he is everywhere already. So we're called to draw near to him. We just can't even hide from him, even if we wanted to. He's already there. So we're called to draw near to him, and that's just another way of saying be holy, be drawn to him. Be pulled away from the world, be separated from the world, so that you can be drawn to him. Near the end of this portion in Leviticus 11, it says this at verse 44. "For I am Adonai your God. Therefore, sanctify yourselves and be holy, for I am holy. You are not to defile yourselves with any kind of creeping thing that moves on the earth. For I am Adonai who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Therefore you shall be holy, for I am holy." We're called to be holy. We're called to be set apart because He's holy. And this is echoed in 1 Peter chapter 1. Why are we to be holy? Because how can we expect to draw near to a holy God if we want to be drawn, if our flesh is constantly drawn to the unholy? Adonai is not going to be there. At least, you know, we said He's everywhere, but He's not going to accept it. He's not going to accept us trying to be close to the unholy and still be close to the holy. You can't do both at the same time. We have to set ourselves apart if we're going to be close to Him. Adonai never sets Himself apart from us. When it appears that we're not with Him, it's not because He's moved away. It's because we've moved away. If there looks like a distance between us, there's only one person to blame, and it's not Him. This is what Isaiah says about sin in Isaiah 59, verses 1 through 3. Behold, Adonai's hand is not too short to save, nor His ear too dull to hear. Rather, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He does not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue mutters wickedness. Isaiah tells us it's not Adonai who caused the separation. Since His hand is not too short, and His ear always hears, it's not Him. It's our sin that causes the separation. He's sinless, so it can't be His sin. This is the reason we're called to be holy. The portion today tells us that a part of holiness or separateness is what to sacrifice and what to eat. Those are the things that are covered in this portion. It gives a definite answer to why should the children of Israel keep a kosher diet? Now, as a congregation that's Jewish and Gentile, I get asked a lot, what about a kosher diet? Should we be keeping a kosher diet? And I have an answer to that. It's, if you're Jewish, you definitely should be keeping a kosher diet. That's what Adonai calls for, the children of Israel to be separated by a diet. If you're Gentile, it doesn't necessarily call for the Gentile to be separated by diet. Now, we do know that the Jerusalem Council said, don't eat strangled animals and don't eat the blood. So you do have to keep that. But I'd also say, if you're joining with the Jewish people, if you're joining with the Jewish people, this is a message for you. How do you be holy? How do you separate yourself? How do you keep separated from the world? Leviticus 11:46-7 says, this is the Torah of the animal, the bird, every living creature that moves in the waters, and every creature that creeps on the earth, to make a distinction between the unclean and the clean, and the between the living things that may be eaten and the living things that may not be eaten. It's up to us to eat and live in a certain way that makes a distinction from the world. That's what the world says. That's what the word says. To make a distinction between unclean and clean. To make a distinction between ritually ready to come before Adonai and ritually not ready to come before Adonai. Now I know it's speaking about food, but it's also speaking about us and the way that we live. and the way that we do things. Here it happens to be about food, but that's not just the only thing. We're told in Ezekiel 44 about what the role of the Levites are for the people. Ezekiel 44:23. They will teach my people the difference between the holy and the common, and explain to them the difference between the unclean and the clean. So, isn't that who we should be now? We should be like the Levites, learning first for ourselves and then teaching others what it means to be holy, what it means to be separated for the Lord. For the Jewish people, it is part of the dietary rules. Not just about the food, though. We're not talking, remember this, we're not talking that the dietary rules brings what's the word I'm looking for? It's a common word. Salvation, thank you. Salvation. My mind just went blank. It doesn't bring salvation. But it will bring us closer to Him when we're called to that lifestyle. If you're Jewish, I believe you're automatically called to the lifestyle. If you're Gentile, then you have to ask yourself, am I called to a messianic lifestyle? And if you're called to a messianic lifestyle, then, even as a Gentile, you're called to be a Jewish lifestyle. It includes your diet. It shows that we're separated for Adonai. That's the purpose of it. Someone once asked me, a Jewish man asked me, why can't I have my shrimp? I like shrimp. Why can't I have my shrimp? And the answer was, because it shows who you are in the Lord. It shows who you are in the Lord. He gave a command to separate us. That should be good enough. You know, a lot of people want to say, well, clean food and unclean food. The unclean food is so unhealthy for you. I got to tell you, I don't think the death rates for the Gentiles is any different than the death rate for the Jews. So I really don't buy that one. What's the purpose of kosher laws? To separate us from a world. Not physically, because then how would you witness to them? But spiritually, you get separated. That means holiness from the world. Now, don't think that we could live that perfect lifestyle, that perfect life that others can look upon and follow in your footsteps exactly. None of us can do that. No one's perfect. No one's sinless. Even as Israel was separating and drawing closer to Adonai, two of Aaron's sons sinned and died. Yet still, Israel was the chosen. God didn't say, oh, that's it. You guys are eliminated. Israel still lived on. Israel still was the apple of God's eye. The sons of Aaron were not just a special situation, but really the normal for people who live in the flesh, especially today, when it appears that men of all kinds are striving to do every kind of thing that's considered evil in the world. Yet those who are part of the world who are currently doing that evil are called to draw near to Adonai. Even as they sin, they're called to draw near to Adonai. That's who He is, loving even through our sins. Not that He wants us to continue sinning, but He'll accept us while we're in our sin and we work our way through it. James wrote the encouragement to the scattered tribes of Israel, knowing that they were currently in their sin, but still telling them to draw near. James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of Adonai, and he shall lift you up." Adonai calls through the words of James to the sinner, saying that although they have not only currently sinned, but are still sinning, they didn't just do it in the past, they're currently still doing it, to stop your sinning, humble yourself, and then you'll be lifted up. What does being lifted up mean? It means they'll be drawn nearer to God, nearer to Adonai. And this is the same word that Yeshua had in Matthew 11:28. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Who are the weary and burdened? They're the sinners who have not yet put down their worldly yoke to take up his light and easy yoke. Even as they were sinning, Yeshua calls out, "Draw near, find your rest. It's for our good and for our benefit." That's his love to us, that even as we're within the sin, he calls us out to be lifted up to him, so that we can be lifted up to him, so that we can draw near to him. That's his love to us. We're told in Colossians that Yeshua has done for us, what Yeshua has done for us to prepare so that we can see Adonai, Colossians 2:11. "In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision done not by hand, in the stripping away of the body of the flesh through the circumcision of Messiah." So what we're saying is, you know, the circumcision of flesh is an outward sign. But the Ruach will circumcise our hearts, cutting away pieces of sin, cutting and slicing and dicing and removing. And that's what we need to do, have, in order to move closer to Adonai. We need to have that circumcised heart. That's why, is it important for Gentiles to be circumcised? Not in the flesh, in the heart they need to be circumcised. Does it mean anything to have a layer of skin removed? No. Does it mean anything to have a layer of sin removed from our heart? Absolutely. And once that's done, then we can move closer. And that's a continuing process. It's a continuing process that allows us to move closer and closer by the Ruach to Adonai. It doesn't happen all at once. When it'll happen all at once is when we take our last breath. That's when it happens all at once. But while we're living here on earth, it's a process. And we have to accept it as a process. Now, people like to say that under the old covenant, it was the sacrifices that allowed us to draw near to Adonai. But under the new covenant, it's Yeshua that gives us free access to Adonai. It's true. But, I believe that by saying that you have total free access to Adonai cheapens it a little bit. And that'll sound strange, but let me make this point. We have a part to play. It's a free gift, totally free, but we still have a part to play. And it downplays our role. He, by the sacrifice of Yeshua, we get access. But we need to do two things in order to access that access. We need to avoid sin in our life. We just can't go and willingly sin. That'll keep us from Him. So we need to allow the Ruach to continue His work in us, His spiritual circumcision. The work that Yeshua did, absolutely complete and total. It's justification of our past sins. But it's now up to us to continue the work by giving the Ruach HaKodesh free access to our hearts to help us to live out the life He wants us to live. That's called sanctification. The living out of what He's given us. And quite frankly, if you've received justification from the acceptance of the blood of Yeshua, and if you've accepted the blood of Yeshua, you have been justified. But if you don't live out your life in a sanctified way, that's the walking away that we talk about, saying, Yeshua will never leave you, but you'll leave Yeshua. Yeshua will never walk away from you, but you can walk away from Yeshua. And you may not even see your feet moving, because you could just be standing still in your spiritual life and be drifting away by allowing sin to become between you and Adonai. That's your part. So those are the ways that I say, yes, Yeshua has definitely completely cleansed us from our sin, but we still have work to do. We still have lives to live in certain ways. This is why we're told in Zechariah's first chapter, therefore tell them, thus says Adonai Tzvaot, return to me. It's a declaration of Adonai Tzvaot, and I will return to you, says Adonai Tzvaot. Because when we sin, and we will sin again, Adonai calls us to draw near again and again and again. And when we do draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us. He will return every single time. And the important thing is not just the act of returning, the act of moving your feet, or the act of doing the right things. It's the heart attitude as you're doing it. Because the most important part of a sacrifice is not the blood being spilled, but the heart attitude behind the sacrifice. If you're doing a sacrifice out of rote or with a just because attitude, or excuse me, or it's just expected of me, so that's why I do it. I give into the offering because it's just expected. That's why I do it. That's not good enough. That's not a sacrifice that's called for. It's got to cost you something. If you just because, it doesn't cost your heart attitude anything. We have to have a heart attitude that's acceptable to Adonai in His eyes. And we're called to present our bodies as a sacrifice in Romans 12, right? I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Now, of course, Rav Shaul is not saying he expects you to pass through the fire. He's not saying he expects you to spill your own blood. But to present your bodies as living sacrifice means that a part of you has to be involved. When we sacrifice an animal, or when they did sacrifice their animal, when we sacrifice our time or anything else that we give to the Lord, it has to include a part of us. When the priests would make a sin sacrifice, what did they do? They laid their hand on the head of the animal, imparting a part of themselves onto the animal. Now, it was the sin part of themselves, but it was still a part of themselves. We need to make sure that when we're doing our sacrifice, when we're doing our work to the Lord, it includes a part of ourselves. It can't just be rote. It can't just be because. Now, at the end of the portion this week, we're told of the kashrut laws, the kosher laws, the food laws, what we should eat and what we shouldn't eat. And basically, for those who are a little confused, and it's easy to be confused, basically what it says is if it's a land animal, it has to have a split hoof and chew the cud. Has to do both. So, anything that has paws is out. A bear has a paw. Don't eat a bear. A rabbit has a paw. Don't eat a rabbit. It's got to have both a split hoof and chew the cud. So why isn't the pig, most of us have not been close enough to a pig to see, but a pig has the split hoof, but it doesn't chew the cud. So it's got to do both. For fish, something in the sea, it's got to swim and it's got to have scales. So a shark is not kosher. It doesn't have scales. It has a skin. It doesn't have scales. Shrimp doesn't have scales. I'm not so sure they swim either. Lobster, walk around on the bottom and no scales. Sorry, guys. You can put as much butter on it as you want. It's not going to be kosher. Birds are kind of funky because the rules are kind of this and that. But basically, it comes down to no birds of prey. That's really what it comes down to. So if it hunts other birds, other animals, that's really not a bird. You've never seen a turkey attack a duck or something like that, you know. Just doesn't happen. So that's basically the rule on the birds. And insects, it's got to have jointed legs. You know, that's a little tougher. But I don't think you guys go around inspecting your insects to see whether you should be eating them or not. So that's just an easy one for most of us. Just avoid the insects, you know. Ugh. I don't care whether it has jointed legs or not. I'm not eating it. Lord, you would have to give me a special message on to eat that. Even dipped in chocolate, I don't think so. But I know I could if I wanted to. And that's the important thing. So there are two reasons to keep Torah, to keep the instructions of Adonai regarding keeping kosher, or any other instructions that God gives us. It just happens to be the kosher laws this week in the portion. Now, the first we find in Romans 2. So Romans 2:13 says this, "For it is not the hearers of Torah who are righteous before God. Rather, it is the doers of Torah who are justified." Knowing Torah or the Word of God, His instructions, in itself does not help. Knowing Adonai's Word, you can have Torah memorized, and having it in your head is not going to draw you closer to God. Romans 2:13 says, rather it is the doers of Torah. So why do you try to put Torah in your head? So you can do it. That's the purpose for reading Scripture. That's the purpose for knowing His Word, so that you can do it. A knowing it without doing it is worthless. Maybe you like the trivia, but that's all it is for you then. It's trivia if you're not putting it to work in your life. Now, the second reason that we keep kosher or any of the other rules or instructions or commandments, mitzvot, whatever you want to call them, is a possible witness to others that Adonai is in everything. Why do we eat kosher? Because we're saying we want to be separated, and we know Adonai's in this act that we're doing. Adonai is in every act that we do if it's for Him. Why do we pray before the meal? Why do we say the blessing of to Adonai with the wine and the bread before our meal? As I say, it's not magic. The words don't change it. The words remind our hearts who He is, and that He is involved in it. Amen. And when we do it out loud, it reminds those around us who He is and that He is in it. And if they're unsaved, then perhaps now we have an open door to tell them who He is and what He can do for them. Who Adonai is and what He wants from them. What does He want from them? He wants fellowship with them. How does He have fellowship with them? When we become holy and separated from the things that are ritually unclean, from the sins of our life. We need to separate ourselves from those things, because that's not where Adonai can be found. So if we're hanging out over here with the sin and He's hanging out over there without the sin, we need to remove ourselves from the sin and get over there. That's what Torah is about. Removing ourselves from here so that we can be there with Him. It's really kind of simple when you think of it that way. It's what the kosher laws are for, the kashrut laws are for. It's what all of the things that say, don't do this. Why not? I don't see people dying from it right away. I mean, what's the purpose of doing it? It's so that we can be separated to be with Him. It's not so that we don't get, so that we don't die in this world. It's so that we don't die in the world to come. It's not so that we get blessed now, although there is a blessing now that will come. It's so that we get blessed for eternity. That's the difference. That's why we want to do it. That's why our hearts have to follow after Torah. That's why we study. That's why we live the way we live. What's your heart attitude? If you're Jewish, Your heart attitude should be, because the Torah was meant for you specifically, I want to follow Torah. And I know that there's, you know, the Reform out there, Reform Jewish people, who want to say, but, if we're more like the world, then we can talk to them about Adonai. It doesn't work that way.
That's right.
All you're doing is being more like the world. Set yourself straight first, and then talk to the world. If you're Gentile, why should I keep kosher? Why should I keep Torah? Well, first of all, look in Scripture in the New Covenant and see what the basis is from the Old Covenant. Can you really keep the New Covenant without keeping the Old Covenant? And I think the answer is, if you look into it intently, the answer is no. It's not to say that every Gentile is called to a messianic lifestyle. It really isn't. Not everybody who comes to Karen Orr is called to a messianic lifestyle. It's okay. A lot of people who come into messianic congregations come for a little bit. They get a taste of it. They learn a little bit, and then they go back to the church. It's okay. Some of you guys have come into the messianic lifestyle, learned from it, loved it, want to take hold of it, and you're living the lifestyle. And to that I say amen. Because what's your heart attitude? To please Adonai. And that's what it's all about. You shouldn't be here to please yourself. You're here to please Adonai. If you're here to please yourself, someone's going to yell at me. If you're here to please yourself, you're not here to please Adonai, you should look at your motives and maybe you'll get fed somewhere else better. I've said this before, and boy, people blew up at me. And I'm sorry, it's still my belief that if you're not here for Adonai, thank you for coming. You may stay as long as you like. You may tithe as much as you want, but check your heart attitude. Over the last year, a lot of people left because I've said that. Thank you guys for staying. Thank you guys for watching. But it's the truth. Sorry. I'm only going to preach the truth to you. What's your heart attitude? If your heart attitude is pleasing God by living a messianic lifestyle, bless you. Learn Torah. Live Torah. Amen. Father, we thank you for your blessing today. We thank you for your word. I believe it was a word that needed to be spoken. Father, for those who needed steel tip shoes today, I pray that you work on their heart as well as their toes. Ruach HaKodesh, have your way today in the hearts of each one of us. Help us to draw closer to you by learning your word even more. Help us to adjust our heart attitudes so that we may be aligned with you in all that we do. Ruach, we just thank you that you and Abba Father and Yeshua are one God, and that you are our God. For that we say, amen and amen. Hallelujah.